This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Later in the hour, we're going to take a look at the census. You know, it's happening next year. And so after you fill out the form, where does all that data go? And we want to know, do you participate in the census? Are you curious about what happens to your data and how it gets used? Give us a call. Our number, 844-724-8255. That's 844-SCI-TALK, or tweet us at SciFry. But first, last week, researchers announced they'd found the remains of a new species of ancient human on the island of Luzon in the Philippines. It was just a few teeth, a toe and hand bones, but they look to have strange mix of ancient and modern human traits scientists have never seen before. So enter Homo luzonensis. Did I get that right, Chara?
Luzonensis, yeah.
Chara Bailey is associate professor in the Department of Anthropology at New York University. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Thanks. It's so great to be here.
Okay, so have we now made the human family tree more complex now?
Yes, absolutely.
In what way?
Well, we've added another species. And not only that, but it's a species that was living at the same time as we were. So, you know, it took a long time for us to accept Neanderthals as a separate species, and that coexisted with Homo sapiens, our species. And now we've got not only Homo sapiens and Homo neanderthalensis, but Homo naledi and Homo floresiensis, and now Homo luzonensis.
So how do you decide where to draw the line about where it belongs?
Well, about where it belongs, like the relationship of that?
Yes. Is it a human or non-human?
Yeah, well, it's definitely human, right? So it has characteristics that align it much closer to humans than it does with apes. And even though it has some primitive characteristics, or the curved toe bone, for the most part, the majority of the characteristics align it with our genus, Homo.
Mm-hmm. And so how many human-like humanoids, hominids, are there out there, or were there, that we know about?
I think I could count them on two hands and a foot. I think maybe 15, but maybe I'd need my other foot too. I might need both feet. Yeah, I have to. It depends, because there's several species that are not accepted as widely as, let's say, Homo floresiensis. So there's Homo georgicus. There's a number of other ones that people don't talk about quite as much, but they're out there. They've been proposed.
Well, let's talk about Homo luzonensis, where it lived and why it's very similar to this other species, right?
To which one? Floresiensis?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's they hypothesize. See, the problem is that Homo floresiensis is a lot more preserved. It has a skull, and it has two jaw bones, and it has a lot of postcrania, which are the bones underneath the head. With luzonensis, you have a couple hand bones, a foot bone, a little piece, I think, of the thigh bone, and some teeth. And so we don't know what its skull looked like. We don't know if it was as small-brained as floresiensis was, which is one of the things that made Homo floresiensis so contentious to begin with, because it had an ape-sized brain. They have proposed that it's small-bodied, which would align it with Homo floresiensis, because both would be then kind of a dwarfed species of human.
Under 3 feet tall, they would
say. Yeah.
That is small body.
Yeah, and it's not atypical for that to happen on islands.
Would we know that if they were related at all? Were they around at the same period?
Yeah, probably, because on both islands, Flores and Luzon, they have earlier occupations dating to between 700 and, or I don't know, 600,000 or 700,000 years ago. That suggests that the ancestors of these species, Homo luzonensis and Homo floresiensis, were probably living at the same time. Mm. And so I presume that they would have evolved kind of in parallel to one another. But, you know, they were on different islands, and so they would have acquired some similarities. Maybe the dwarfism is similar, but then the details could be different, especially if they weren't interacting with one another.
We talked about the bones, but also on the site, there were also some teeth. I know you're an expert in ancient teeth.
Love teeth.
So let me chew on that.
Oh.
You haven't heard that one before, yeah. I'm sure. Was there anything curious about the teeth that the researchers found on the site?
Well, in many ways, they're similar to Homo floresiensis in that they're quite small. And the teeth get smaller towards the back of the tooth row, which is something that you see with Homo sapiens. And the morphology is quite simple, which is something that you see with Homo sapiens. But, the cautionary note is that we have there are other species now. There's some fossils from Spain, Cima de los Huesos, now known to be Homo heidelbergensis or something related to Neanderthals, mm-hmm. that were, when they've only had the teeth, they thought, and because they were small, they thought that had to be Homo sapiens. So tooth size is actually very evolvable. So they have quite small teeth that kind of align them with Homo sapiens. They have some very primitive features. So premolar roots, premolars are your bicuspids. The upper premolars should have one root, maybe two, and these have three.
Wow.
I might have gotten that wrong, but they have two very divergent roots. I'm blowing that. But when I look at that, the premolar, which is quite primitive looking, it looks a lot like some material I've seen in China that people have that recently came out that they were kind of like, we don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that that ancestor is on the mainland.
Now, how do we think that they, you spoke about the mainland being their ancestors, how do they get to the island? I mean, what drives them? And you know,
I don't think they were
dwarf ones to the island.
Yeah, I don't think they were necessarily driven. I think that their ancestors probably got to the island hundreds of thousands of years before these species that we're picking up now. It could be that they were blown offshore with some kind of storm there, and
it's not something that they may have commuted back and forth.
No, I don't think so, because
how far apart are we talking about?
I'd have to look that up. No, farther.
Hundreds
of miles. Yeah. So much farther. You wouldn't be doing any commuting, and if you were doing a lot of commuting, then I don't think you would have such strange morphology, because there'd be gene flow going between populations rather than being isolated. I think most of us would tend to think that they got there by accident.
Do you think we'll be able to find a skull? If we search long enough and around there,
I hope so.
Well,
yeah.
Why not?
We
right?
need one. Yeah, we really do. We as I think everybody can relate. We like to look at faces to see whether we recognize a face or a head as being something similar to us or not. And so very important.
Tell me about that. So it really is us just analyzing visually the connection.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I think that's part of it.
Yeah. How about analyzing the DNA? Is there any DNA left in any of these bones?
No, because it's in tropical areas or even temperate areas, DNA preservation is very poor. So the DNA degrades. And here's the thing, though, because the DNA technology in the past 10 years has increased exponentially. So perhaps in the next 10 years, they'll be able to extract DNA. But at this point, they can't.
Do you think that Homo luzonensis is going to be one of the discoveries that gets debated a lot?
Yeah.
Does it belong? Does it not? Where to put it?
I think, what it's prompting me to do is to really think about how we define species, how much variability there is within species. I'm hoping that it actually makes more than just me, but other people too, start really thinking about this and reevaluating our paradigms, our theory.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to be over there and digging it up?
My friend Matt Tocheri invited me over to see Liang Bua, where Floresiensis is, so I could always just pop on over there too. Mm-hmm.
Do you think if you have Floresiensis and you also have this one, Luzonensis, there might be a third, a fourth, a fifth?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then we have to start really thinking about, are we going to really name all these different species, or are they variants of one thing? Do you know what I mean?
So, no, tell me.
So perhaps there was one ancestral species to all of those, and after they got to the island, they diverged in different ways, but they're just dwarfed versions of this whatever their ancestral species.
And how would you decide that? What would make that, as a, you know?
Well, it would take a lot of debating within our community. A lot more fossils and something that, some traits that are shared uniquely between something on the mainland, let's say, and each one of those island populations.
It's interesting because I saw the photos of the bones and comparing the bone, how much it curved versus how straight it was.
Right.
Something as small as that
Yeah.
Right? Whether it was a grasping finger bone or was it not?
Right.
That's sort of those sorts of minor things, to me, minor.
Yeah.
Decide there are not things where you place them.
Yeah, because it tells us something about their locomotion. But, you know, one thing that's never been done is, or at least not that I know of, I don't know that people have examined curvature in bones of humans who do a lot of climbing. Or, you know, humans can climb trees, and you
I
know,
like that.
And the thing
you're even muddying the waters more.
I love to do that. but, you know, the toe bones and the finger bones, bone is dynamic.
Right.
It responds
to
alive.
Use.
Yes,
yeah.
As you know, and it responds to use. So,
they're the same, except this one liked to climb a tree a little more, and so it developed a little more of a curvature.
Maybe they had to climb trees for their food all the time. I don't know. You know, I'm really stretching it here, but I think the cool thing about discoveries like this is it makes us think about new hypotheses, and somebody out there is going to go test that or test other hypotheses. And that's how science moves forward, as you know.
But very slowly.
Unfortunately.
Because if you come up with a new idea, you have to have good evidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So you need to go out and find some more of these bones and teeth. And,
And that'll help. I'm not sure it's going to resolve it, you know.
Well, you'll come back and talk about it if they find some more stuff, right?
Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Shara Bailey is Associate Professor in the Department of Anthropology at New York University. Thank you.
Thank you.
For taking time to be with us today.